Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Dallas Stevens.
All right, there's joy in this house of praise, right? And also this house of praise, but like when we're talking about the house of the Lord, who's the house of the Lord? You are, we are, I am, you am. All right. Well, welcome to The Way. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. So excited you joined us for worship today. Man, what a just kind of a sleepy morning, right? Woo! As I was driving to work this morning, little droplets of rain. I know folks are probably enjoying that a little bit, but in this place today, we are experiencing the sunshine of the Lord. Woo! Amen. Corny jokes, right? That's what you came here for, good content.
We had right dad there. Joke on there, being
right
car.
On, right on, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome. If you're a guest with us today, so excited you joined us. You know what? We have an important announcement that I'm supposed to make, that I have a note that tells me I need to make that announcement right now. So before, you guys have a seat real quick, 30 seconds, right? I want to make a special invitation to you guys to join us for our Sleep in Heavenly Peace bed build. Can I get that slide up there? Yes. And Gabe, go ahead and like be showing, leave that up for just a second, and then as I talk, start showing some of those pictures. But October 5th, that's not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, we're gonna be building that, I believe, right here on this property outside, I believe, hopefully not here because of a lot of sawdust. But and what if you don't know what Sleep in Heavenly Peace is, the concept of Sleep in Heavenly Peace is no child in our town is going to sleep on the floor. And so this is this group partner with this group, and they come, and we get to build these beds for kids who need beds. And I cannot think of a thing that is maybe more fundamental than having a place to lay your head, right? It helps with your emotional well-being, your mental well-being, your physical well-being. Just helps with your entire makeup, and in turn gives you an opportunity to work on your spiritual well-being. But these are pictures from the last time we did this over at our St. Luke's campus over on 45th in Memphis. And man, I don't know if I did not get to go because I was out of town, but I think Joel was there. Did I see Joel in the house? Can you give us like 5 seconds on that, Joel? Tell us about it. That's right. That's 40 kids who, before that night, did not have a place to sleep. They had to sleep on the floor. And after that night, 40 more kids had an opportunity to have a bed to sleep in. And we can, you guys have an opportunity to partner with us in doing that. Please consider doing that. October 5th. It's going to be right here at 90th in Frankfurt. All right. Would you stand with us? And we're going to continue in our time of worship through song. Let me pray over us as we do that. Father, just as this song we just sang, Lord, says, Lord, there's joy in this house. Lord, not only this house of worship, this space, this physical space, there's joy, certainly, but also joy in the house of our hearts, Father, where we carry your spirit, where we are the tabernacle now, Father. So, Lord, as we look to you this morning, Jesus, we invite your presence to move in this place, to move in our hearts, to draw you closer to us, to draw us closer to you than we were before we came here, Lord. And that when we leave here, Lord, we would continue drawing closer to you. And we grow up in spiritual maturity and what it looks like to follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Over our finances. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for how you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you provide for us as a church, Lord, as individuals. Lord, we pray blessing over each of those that are here, Lord, their finances, Lord, and the way that they steward those finances. Lord, we pray that you would increase them, Lord, so they're able to increase in their family, Lord, and also able to worship through their giving even more, Father, to bless what you call us to do, Lord Jesus. Not so St. Luke's could prosper, not so the Methodist Church, the Global Methodist Church can prosper, but Lord, so that your kingdom can come and serve. So we pray blessing over all those finances, Lord. And Lord, where there's those who are in need, Lord, we just pray that you would just
be Jehovah Jireh for them, Father, that you would bless our finances as well, Lord God. We thank you, we give you glory. Amen. All right, you guys. 3 weeks ago, I used all my jokes. And so it's going to be short today, all right? So I used all my jokes up. I don't preach very often, so this is two times in a four-week span. So, all right. Let's get to it. We've been in a series that Pastor Matt started last week called No Longer a Slave. We took a look at the end of Galatians 3, where Pastor Matt talked about what it means to walk in freedom as opposed to being a slave to sin, but also that we are heirs to God's promise. If you remember what that was, that's salvation and also the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue moving right on through the end of chapter 3 to the beginning of chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Galatians 4. Let's check out what it says. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. And if you remember, we've talked about in Galatians 3, right? We were heirs to the promise of God, but because we're an underage heir is no better than a slave in their standing, right? They may have access to the monies, to the whatever is their promise. But they may have promise to it, but they don't have access to it because they're underage, right? Okay, so back to this. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. Whew. Paul's going out of there, isn't he? Okay. All right, well, let's break this down a little bit. So what does Paul mean when he says underage? Is he talking literally or figuratively? I'll take both answers. I think he's talking figuratively for us, but he's also likening it to that of an actual child growing up and becoming an adult, right? So that's how we get to our title today, called Grow Up. Paul says that even though we are literally heirs to the promise, because we are underage, we are still subject to the guardians and trustees or the elemental spiritual forces of the world. So as we are slaves to the elemental spiritual forces of the world, what is that? Sin, right? The elemental spiritual forces of this world. Not of the kingdom, but of the world, right? That's sin. And that we are heirs, and we're heirs to the promise. Okay, but what does it mean to be an heir? The Greek definition, I'm not going to try to say the word because I'm going to mess it up. But the Greek definition of the word heir is one who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. Gabe, you back there? You got that slide there, buddy? Next. There we go. All right. So to receive our possession, the promise of salvation, the Holy Spirit, we must grow up or mature spiritually, all right? Otherwise, we are heirs in name only. It's kind of like, so my wife works with trust in her work a lot, and so I'm kind of thinking about if someone puts money into a trust, does your You may be inheritant to that trust, but you can't get to it until whatever happens in the trust says whatever's supposed to happen, right? So let's pretend I have $50 million. I do not have $50 million, but let's pretend that I do, okay? All right. Being a pastor does not pay that much, I promise you. And I want to leave it to my daughter, Ella, who's here in attendance today. I did not get her permission to say her name, but that means I'm going to have to buy her a snow cone this afternoon, probably. But I want to leave my $50 million to her, but I don't want her to waste it on silly things like buying all the Squishmallows in Texas. And if you know what a Squishmallow is, it's basically an animal in the shape of a pillow. And they come in all sizes. And Ella has about 1,000 of them, and she loves them. And I don't understand that, but that's all right, I'm not 13. But to make sure that Ella has the opportunity to use that $50 million wisely, what do? I put it in a trust. And when she turns 25 or whatever appointed time is, she can have access to it. That basically means that it gives time for her prefrontal cortex to mature, all right? That's what that means. That way she'll use the $50 million to do things like buy a house, pay for her children's college, and not buy all the Squishmallows in Texas. So when she matures, she's going to have access to that promised $50 million. But until then, she's only heir to my $50 million. In name only. So basically the same as my butler. I do not have a butler. Now, what does it mean to mature spiritually? I'll just kind of let that sit there for just a second. Let you guys think through that. I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean just following Jesus around for a long time. All right? I'm 50 years old, and I've been following Jesus for 42 years. My mom led me to Jesus when I was 8 years old in our living room. And I've followed Jesus for a long time. But does that mean I'm a 42-year-old Christian? Some might say, yeah, I've been following Jesus for 42 years. I'm very mature in my faith. Insert your number here, whatever your number might be. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. This is a great time to be here today. For me, my number is 42. I started following Jesus when I was 8, so naturally, I'm going to say I've been following Jesus for 42 years. I am amazing. I am a mature Christian. Beat that. Okay? But that doesn't really mean that I am a mature Christian just because I've been following Jesus for a long time. It could mean that I've been following Jesus around 42 times, but only 1 year deep. Right? Maybe my faith is only 1 year deep, but I've only done it time after time after time after time again. I start over. Maybe it means that that there's been some maturing, but also some regressing and some maturing and some regressing. If you guys are like me, I'm sure that's where you probably find yourselves. Maybe I'm not 42 years strong, but I do feel like that I'm at least moving in the positive direction on a semi-continual basis, right? Am I truly growing deeper in my walk with Jesus over the long haul? Or am I just orbiting around the same do's and don'ts, the rules and regulations, 1 year at a time, and starting over and stagnating? How mature am I becoming? How spiritually mature am I becoming? How spiritually mature are you becoming? And like, really, like, how do we gauge this? How can you gauge how spiritually mature you are? There is a way, if you did not know. You ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23. You guys, many of you guys know this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, self-control. It's not my favorite. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what fruit are you producing, church? You got your steel-toe boots on today? Okay. I got mine on because I was very, very convicted by this as I was preparing for this over the week in my heart and then overnight in my studies. I am a night owl, and as I was finishing up, I was very, very convicted of this. Becoming spiritually mature or becoming a grown heir means becoming sanctified. And if you remember 3 weeks ago, throwback. What did I teach on? Sanctification. See how I like to tie those together? Okay. If you remember from that 3 weeks ago, and for a lot of us it's a stretch, I know. I've slept 21 times since then. The church word sanctification means what? It means to be holy. Okay? It's an immediate holiness when we become followers of Jesus, but it's also an ongoing holiness. It's a process that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are to be working on from now until when? Till forever. Great. So, Dallas, how do we do this? Like, that's great that you say that and all, but, like, practically, how do we do this? All right, well, there's three steps, and Pastor Matt alluded to them last week. We got a picture of a cool sign. Let's see that sign. If you'll notice, it looks very familiar to a sign that sits right out there, because it is that sign that sits right out there. The three steps are be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and act like Jesus. So let's just take a second. I'm not gonna bemoan this too long. Let's take a second and look at these real quick. Be with Jesus. This is the pouring out of Jesus for you to give you an opportunity to be with Jesus. All right? Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So because of that pouring out of Jesus, because Jesus made a way for us, we can be with Jesus, right? If you are a follower of Christ, you've got step one down. So you're a third of the way there. Good job. Yeah. That's salvation, man. It's saying yes to following Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you have a great opportunity today to become a follower of Jesus. Let's look at that scripture one more time, Gabe. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Great. There's step one. Step two. Become like Jesus. And the way we do this is through the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? Let's look at Romans 12:2. That scripture should be in there, Gabe. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How do we become like Jesus? By being transformed. By letting the Holy Spirit do what it does inside you. We talked about it when I was teaching on sanctification. It's all about leaning into Jesus. Do what Jesus does, right? Pray and dig into Scripture. We think on things that are good and pleasing to the Lord. I tell my kids all the time, and you can quote this. You don't have to pay me royalties, but you can quote this. You become who you hang out with 100% of the time. You become who you hang out with. But Dallas, how are we supposed to minister to people? Look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't spend time telling people about Jesus. But on the whole, the people that you hang out with, the things that you do, the things that you let your eyes see, and your ears hear, and your heart take in, you become those things. And I'm not just saying, I'm not pointing one finger at you, I got three fingers pointing right back at me, right? This is for all of us, this is for me as well. Be careful, eyes what you see, ears what you hear, mind what you allow in. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. Number three, act like Jesus. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit working inside us. What does act like Jesus mean? It means doing the things that Jesus does. Doing the things that Jesus does. So, I asked you earlier, what is the fruit in your life? Are you doing the things that Jesus does? Are you acting like Jesus? I would venture to say that most of us probably are in some aspects of our lives, and most of us probably need some work in some areas as well. I know that I do. But I long to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what He's put inside me to do, to accomplish the things that He has asked me to do and that He has made me to do. And I know that He has made you to do some things as well. He's put within you things that you probably can't even fathom that you could do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it's His desire for you that you will be able to accomplish those things. Don't settle for a one-year deep relationship with Jesus going over and over and over and over and resetting and stagnating. But build on each of those. Continue to move towards Jesus. Continue to let your heart and mind be transformed. Once again, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So finally, don't turn back. At the end of this, go back up to our main scripture. I want to read it again. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Look, Scripture is full of God's people. I talked about it when I taught on sanctification a few weeks ago. Being like all in on fire for Jesus. Yay, God. Oh, but over here is, yeah. Yay, God. Look, man. Don't turn back. And I know that's freaking hard. It is. But that's why we have each other. That's why we have this community. To spur each other on. To be part of what God is calling us to be. As an individual, but also part of His family and part of the kingdom family. I'm going to ask Will to go ahead and come on up as I'm just taking these last few seconds. I think I said this already, but I'm going to say it again. Don't settle for a one-year deep relationship, or whatever that time period is that you seem to find yourself stagnating and just starting over. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. We can do this because we were meant to be more than conquerors. You, every one of you in this place, is an heir to the promise of the Father. And every one of you either are or can be a mature follower of Jesus. We don't have to be slaves anymore. We don't have to be slaves to those things that hold us back. We can be more than conquerors through Jesus. Let me pray over us. Father, we thank You, Lord, Thank you that you're good. And Lord, that well, even when we are not so faithful, that you are. Lord, even when we turn our backs and go the other way, you still seek us out. Lord, I know that you have made each one of us. You put within us a purpose, Lord, for your kingdom. An adventure to follow, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to have. Help us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be able to do those things which you have put within us, Father. Lord, each of us, Lord, help us to press in to who you are, Lord. As a follower of you, Lord, we be with you. We are with you, Lord. And as in your presence, Lord, we can become like you. And in your power, Lord, we can act like you. Help us, Jesus. Lord, we know that you've called us to so much more.
Sorry, I'm going to sing this song about purpose. It's literally called We Were Made for More. And as we sing it, as you sing these lyrics, just think about what you believe God has put within you. Just think about what he is making you for more. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never signed up to follow Jesus, man, I want to tell you that he's good, and he's pretty much the best thing that's ever happened to me. I know if you're interested in having a conversation about that, please talk to me afterwards, or talk to, I'm going to put every one of you guys on the spot. Find somebody here in this place, right? We're a family. If you have a question about that, tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, what does it mean to follow Jesus?
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.